seems everyone does want to rule the world. And the fight continues. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker, once again, drafted into duty to be the broadcast media right here on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and 93.7 in San Diego. And you San Diego listeners are going to want to pay attention today. Yes, pay attention. I am the blogger from bradblog.com, now coming at you every week, every Wednesday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, and of course coast to coast and around the globe on kpfk.org. Glad you could join us here. Maximum alert, says Prime Minister Naoto Kan on Wednesday to Parliament concerning the situation, the still continuing and still at sometimes worsening situation at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. The battle to keep that nuclear, four of those six nuclear reactors under control continues. Radiation continues to spike near the plant and in the seawater near the plant. TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, continues to bungle their way through the crisis, making mistake after mistake. And here they were, such a fine, upstanding company. Who would have thunk? Workers at the plant, we are now learning, are living in deplorable conditions. And we have new news tonight on the whereabouts of the president of TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company. He has not been seen since March 13th, just 2 days after the 9.0 magnitude earthquake and tsunami, which rocked Japan and flooded the plant. Who would have thunk? Who would have thought it could ever happen? We'll have more on that. Apparently, TEPCO didn't think it could happen, or if they did think it could happen, they didn't plan for it for some odd reason. We'll talk about that in a little bit straight ahead. So the debate also continues about how bad this crisis actually is as it continues. And we're now looking at considerations for how it will end, if ever. Officials say it may take weeks, months, or even years. And here in the U.S., the Congress has begun examining safety issues around our own plants. Here in the good old U.S. of A., I'm sure the Congress will take action on that right away and answer any concerns that you or I may have about the safety of nuclear power in this nation. And, of course, the possibilities and plans for, such that we have them, for evacuations near those plants in this country. Of course, of particular interest to folks here in California, where the Diablo nuclear plant recently discovered a new fault, or at least a newly discovered fault, less than a half mile from that plant. But hey, what could possibly go wrong? The latest estimates of the dead and missing now in Japan are over 27,400. And again, to put that into perspective, in this country, if we compared the Japanese population with the U.S. population, we're talking about some 68,000 Americans dead or missing from a single event in this nation. It is hard to imagine what this country would be going through if it had happened to us. We've been covering Fukushima since I've been doing this 3:30 slot for the last couple of weeks, because it has been breaking news as we have gone on the air for each of the past 2 weeks. But finally, maybe today, if the radio gods are with us, we'll move on to another topic or two here of note. Paging Anonymous. Yes, with 2012 right around the corner, you can now own your very own Diebold touchscreen voting machine for pennies. Because, yes, practice makes perfect. And these babies make great ballot box stuffers. So I know you folks in San Diego are going to want to listen to this, because we're talking about the Diebold TSX that you can have for just pennies on the dollar, the very same machine that for some reason voters in San Diego are still forced to vote on, despite the fact that they are 100% unverifiable voting systems. Also, relatedly, we're going to talk about the GOP war on democracy, which continues with voter suppression laws swiftly moving through Republican state legislatures after Republicans have forwarded these bills for supposedly anti-voter fraud bills. And it turns out they aren't that at all. Of course, nobody's noticing because there's conveniently other more pressing things going on, like, oh, a new war. And yes, potential nuclear catastrophe. That does have a way of drawing the focus of the news media, understandably. And what it means, of course, is that a lot of these guys, a lot of these Republicans, sorry to say, it is the Republicans who are working on these anti-voter, anti-democracy efforts in state after state after state. That even as yet another Republican, and you can't make this stuff up, this one, a potential 2012 presidential candidate, is discovered to have, yes, committed voter fraud, adding to a still growing epidemic of Republican voter fraud in this nation. You've heard about Acorn and Democratic voter fraud and all of those things that have no evidence to support them. Well, here we have real evidence of real Republican voter fraud continuing in this country, and now a potential 2012 candidate. We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. You, however, will have to tune in, stay tuned in to find out who that is. Hey, Des, just make sure I get to that part, will you? Now that I've teased it. All right. Before we get to all of that, let's talk about Fukushima and the latest there. I know we do have a bit of breaking news this evening, this afternoon. Desi Doyen joins us with the news, with the Fukushima update. What do you have for us today, Des?
Well, according to the Australian Broadcasting Company, the International Atomic Energy Agency says radiation measured at a village that's 40 kilometers from the Fukushima nuclear power plant now exceeds the criterion for evacuations. And remember, the exclusion zone around the plant is 30 kilometers. This was detected at 40 kilometers.
And that is just in. But last night, I believe Greenpeace held a press conference in Tokyo.
Yes, and we'll get to that in a moment.
Announcing exactly that. But yes, just to clear this up for folks, the exclusion zone had been 20 kilometers. Between 20 and 30 kilometers, folks were recommended to stay indoors. But over the past few days, Japanese government has recommended that people leave that zone between 20 and 30 kilometers, not due to safety, they claim, but because they're having trouble getting food and supplies to the people who live there. Apparently, for some odd reason, nobody wants to deliver food and supplies to that zone 20 to 30 miles from Fukushima. Go figure.
Yes, and that is part of the reason why the Japanese government is still struggling to distribute food, fuel, and supplies, not only to the hundreds of thousands of survivors in the disaster zones 2 weeks after the fact, but also to those folks who are unfortunately sheltering in place 20 to 30 kilometers from the plant. Japanese Prime Minister Naoto Kan said on Tuesday night that the crisis at the nuclear power plant remains, quote, unpredictable, and warns that the nation must remain on, quote, maximum alert. Government has admitted that its nuclear safety standards had been insufficient. Officials have recommended evacuation for residents who have been sheltering in place within a 30-kilometer radius around the plant, as Brad mentioned, not because of those safety issues, but because of the food and fuel shortages. Meanwhile, that Greenpeace Tokyo press conference, the experts recommended that the mandatory evacuation zone be expanded beyond that 30-kilometer range, especially for pregnant women and children. Plant workers and members of the country's self-defense force continue to struggle heroically to prevent a catastrophic meltdown at four of the plant's six reactors.
Heroically indeed. And by the way, under horrendous conditions. We're just now learning about how bad these conditions are at the plant. These people, there's anywhere
from... No light,
from,
no food, no beds, no showers.
No beds.
And, of course, radioactivity.
And there's that, too. Yeah, but, I mean, they're being forced to sleep on the floor every night, working some 23 hours of the day, at least certainly early in this crisis. Now you've got about 400 or 500 folks there living in these dreadful conditions, nameless, faceless heroes, frankly.
Risking their lives. plants.
Indeed. And after a Reuters report came out yesterday about those conditions, Japanese government late last night, I guess that would be Wednesday, Japan time, announced that they would be taking efforts to work with TEPCO to improve the conditions for those workers.
Whatever
nice.
That means.
Nice of them, eh?
Highly toxic plutonium has been detected in the soil outside stricken reactor number 3. The International Atomic Energy Agency says the very low levels are not a risk to human health, but do indicate partial meltdowns and a breach in some part of the reactor buildings might have occurred. Levels of radioactivity have also spiked in the ocean around the plant. Radiation in seawater around the plant spiked to 1,800 times above normal levels over the weekend. Seemed like it was beginning to subside, but today, new readings indicate levels of radioactive iodine in the seawater near the plant are now more than 3,500 times the legal limit. And an official with the Japanese Nuclear Agency says the radiation in the seawater is not a danger because fishing has been banned within the exclusion zone.
I love that quote. This is the fellow from the Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency. Don't worry. That, you know, those readings were inside the 20-kilometer zone, and nobody is allowed to fish there. The only question is, has anyone told the fish they can't swim? Who will keep them from swimming in and out of the 20-kilometer zone? Has anybody informed them they are not to do that?
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Highly radioactive water has also been detected outside the reactor containment buildings, flooding underground maintenance tunnels. Massive amounts of water that were sprayed into the reactor buildings to stave off a catastrophic meltdown must now be removed, immobilized, and stored somewhere before workers can restore electric power and continue the cooling pump systems. International law prohibits dumping radioactive water into the sea. The substantial quantities of contaminated water will have to be pumped away, somehow immobilized, and they're also considering options of encasing it up in concrete, which could then somehow be stored.
The plants or the water?
The water.
They have run out of room. They had containers, apparently, for this water. The containers are now full. They don't have enough containers to pump out the water to do something with it. And so what this means is while they're trying to pump it out slowly, using sandbags, very high-tech sandbags to keep it from flooding now into the seawater, even though it's apparently getting there somehow. Officials don't know how. But in slowing down the pumping, what this means is the reactor cores and the fuel is beginning to heat up again as they're trying to figure out what to do with this water. Interesting thing happened over the weekend, Des. We're looking at reactors 1 through 4 are now the troubled reactors. And in each of them, the radiation had been 10,000 times the allowable level. Over the weekend, then, TEPCO came out and announced that in Unit 2, the levels of radiation had spiked to 10 million times the allowable level, and workers were forced to beat a hasty retreat from the plant, only to find out a few hours later that, in fact, TEPCO had, misread the gauges. It is only, the radioactivity is only 100,000 times the legal level in Unit 2, to which reporter Mark McKinnon, I think, had the best comment. He said, leave it to TEPCO to make 100,000 times above the legal limit seem like a good thing.
Yeah. Well, it could still be worse. The Guardian newspaper reports that the situation could be much worse than publicly known. Professor Richard Leahy, who worked as a safety research officer at General Electric during the installation of the reactors, said his analysis of radiation levels indicates that part of the molten core in reactor unit number 2 appears to have sunk through the steel floor of the pressure containment vessel, and onto the concrete floor below. So now it could be no longer a matter of melting fuel rods, but of meltdown, he cautions. Tokyo Electric Power Company, as you mentioned.
That's not confirmed, right?
That is not confirmed. That is just this guy, this professor who worked there and who worked on the installation, who did his own calculus. Trying to figure out what's happening. And he said in his calculations, it means that it has probably sunk through the steel container down to the concrete floor, whether the concrete floor, which I think is several feet feet thick, whether that will contain it and keep it from entering the environment.
Yeah, there's concern that that cracked, the concrete cracked during one of those hydrogen explosions. But the puzzle here, the mystery here, is why that water coming out of Unit 2 is so highly radiated. And this fella in The Guardian, I think, was speculating, based on those numbers, that we must have this uranium, the fuel rods must have melted to some extent through that steel vessel. We still don't know if that's true.
And to help determine that, the Obama administration is sending a squad of radiation-hardened robots to Japan to help with regaining control. The robots have electronics that are built to withstand radiation and can work in areas of the plant where high radiation levels would kill a human engineer. They are equipped with cameras that will help get a view on the damage to the reactor core. Now, the earliest versions of these robots were used in the aftermath of the Three Mile Island accident in 1979. Researchers at the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research say their data indicates the radiation leak at the plant is now much worse than the amount of radiation released during the Three Mile Island accident back in 79. They estimate the Japanese plant has released 160,000 times as much radioactive iodine-131 as Three Mile Island, 160,000 times. Now, in comparison, that is still just 10 times. Chernobyl is still 10 times larger than what has been released from Fukushima so far.
According to that study.
According to that study.
Because we have now begun to see, and I've been trying to cover, balance my coverage at bradblog.com on this, but we have data now coming out from the Australian, Meteorological agency, not Australian, Austrian, who is using the meters from around the world, that the monitors that you are used to measure for the nuclear test ban treaty. They're saying that the levels of cesium?
Cesium.
I want to get it right. Yeah, I think it was cesium. Cesium-137 that have been released are anywhere now from 20% to 60% of what was released at Chernobyl. And a few other scientists have independently sort of corroborated that data. So don't be surprised, and I suspect KPFK listeners won't, don't be surprised if we learn in the days ahead that things here are, maybe a little bit worse than officials are actually telling us about.
And speaking of those officials, as mentioned earlier, Tokyo Electric Power Company, known as TEPCO, has formally announced it will scrap four of those six reactors at the power plant. The total loss of four of the six reactors was expected because the use of highly corrosive seawater in that last ditch effort to cool the damaged reactors was definitely killed off the reactors and any chance of reanimating
them. The least surprising news of the day,
right,
that they're killing these four reactors, are going to decommission them, although that may take may take months. I think we had Joe Cirincione was speaking about that over the weekend on CNN, was sort of speculating what he's from Plowshares Fund, was speculating about what may happen with these four nuclear reactors in the months and even years ahead.
We'll see, I think, at least two core meltdowns and possibly two, maybe more, pool fires, and it'll end very, very badly. That's what I actually think is going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they can contain it. This will take weeks or months, and in the end, 2, 3, 4 years from now, we're going to have concrete and sand mounds, sarcophagi on each of these reactors dotting the Japanese shoreline. That's going to be a monument that no one really wants to see.
Indeed, but I think we are going to see that now. More and more information coming out that they are looking at how to exactly bury these things, kill these things in a mound of concrete. Yeah, go ahead, Des.
Well, it's also important to note that the Associated Press, in a detailed investigation, says that TEPCO did not adequately assess the site and, quote, dismissed important scientific evidence and all but disregarded 3,000 years of geological history. Now, according to AP, when they were designing the plant, TEPCO's engineers chose not to factor in, on purpose, quakes that happened earlier than 1896, when geologic evidence and and historical records show that the site's extremely high vulnerability at this site to massive destructive earthquakes and tsunamis. Now, the plant was designed to withstand a tsunami of up to 18 feet, but there is the tsunami on March 11th after the earthquake was estimated at 40 feet high.
40 feet high.
And so if they had looked back prior to 1896, they would have seen that there were at least three different tsunamis that went over a mile inland and were probably in that 40-foot range.
And I think they happened about every, didn't they say it was every 100 years or every 1,000 years, to the point where we were about due for one to hit right around now.
On that specific fault, at that specific location in northeast Japan.
Back here in this country, of course, we're learning our lessons from Japan. We're learning that we have to pay attention to this data, that we can't lowball these estimates, that we should be plan for the worst-case scenario, and everything is okay now
but
in this country?
No, not so much. No? We're finding out, as you have said, as you said earlier, that Congress is now holding hearings and examining the U.S. nuclear fleet, and they have ordered two new safety reviews in response to the crisis. But at a Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee hearing this week on Tuesday, nuclear experts had some new preliminary recommendations for the 104 nuclear plants in the United States, including reducing the amount of spent fuel stored on site at nuclear facilities, because right now the amount of spent fuel in the U.S. in temporary storage is far, far greater than the actual fuel supply located inside the reactors. So in other words, we have way more spent fuel in storage right now in dangerous places than we do inside the reactors themselves.
And in Congress this week, it was the U.S. Senate, I believe, we had hearings on the evacuation zones and whether our evacuation zones in this country are adequate. David Lochbaum, an expert on nuclear energy at the Union of Concerned Scientists.
And he's also director of the nonprofit Nuclear Power Project.
Yeah, had this to say when he was asked by Senator Al Franken about whether our plans are adequate.
Do you have any opinion about the state of our evacuation plans?
I think our plans are as good as those in Japan on March 10th.
I don't know what that means.
It means we would be equally in a dire straits if we were faced with that kind of disaster. We have good plans on paper. If you put them to practice, I think we're going to show that we're going to come up short.
That we need to improve on what we're doing?
Well, around Indian Point, for example, the local and state officials have said they can't get their people out if need to. The federal government overruled what the local and state government said and said, well, it would happen anyway, that some miracle would occur and the people would not be harmed. I tend to trust the local and state officials. They deal with these issues on a daily basis. If in their best judgment they can't protect those people, I don't know why anybody else should believe that we can.
So we have federal officials telling the local officials, the ones who will actually have to deal with these evacuations if they're needed around these nuclear power plants, the federal officials are coming in and saying, no, these evacuation plans are fine. Don't worry about it. Nothing here to worry about. These aren't the droids you're looking for. What could possibly go wrong? Any indication, Desi Doyen, that in those hearings that they will actually make any changes, or is this just more discussion in Congress, more kabuki theater, if you will, for the C-SPAN cameras?
It's difficult to tell. I think that with the inclusion of so much attention and so many hearings, I mean, this is probably, I think, the fourth or fifth hearing just in the last 2 weeks on this. I don't know that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, who has been famously accused of being too cozy with the nuclear energy industry, I don't think that they're going to let this one completely pass, because the costs of upgrading our systems definitely are high, but the possibility for extreme damage in a crisis, I think, has been enough that maybe they'll actually do something this time to upgrade the system. That's just my own personal opinion
based on
what I've seen of them talking in the hearings.
I hope you're right. I think you're more optimistic than I am. Look at what happened after the BP disaster just months ago, and here we are now giving approval for more deep water drilling licenses in the Gulf, and guess what? They're using old safety plans that they haven't even changed.
For the drilling, yes.
For the drilling, old safety plans that they haven't even changed since the disaster. This, even while the government has determined that the blowout preventers that are supposed to keep those disasters from happening don't actually work about 47% of the time. So I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong. I'm afraid I'll be right. I'm afraid you'll be wrong. Desi Doyen, thanks for the Fukushima update there. I appreciate it. I got just a few more minutes here, and I did want to, as promised, get on to some of this news that I find disturbing. You know, most folks wait to report on election issues and voting system issues, voting machine issues, until just before the election when it's too damn late to do anything about it. And folks who know my work at bradblog.com know this is one of the issues we stay on day in, day out, 24/7, 356. Frankly, and yeah, I know. And so this unbelievable. This came in yesterday. You can read more about it at Brad Blog, of course. Diebold touchscreen e-voting machines are now for sale on eBay. Yes, you heard me right. The Diebold AccuVote TSX touchscreen electronic voting machine can be yours for the buy-it-now price of $1,200. Or go ahead and make a bid for anything you want, as low as you want. With 2012 just around the corner and these babies still in use at polling places all over the country, yes, I'm talking to you, San Diego, why not get one or more of them now, right now, for your very own? You too can learn all the ins and outs of, quote, voting before the pressure of election day when that, quote, vote will really count. Yes, they're great for social clubs like political parties or even terrorist groups. Why wait? They're sure to disappear fast, just like the 100% unverifiable votes that are cast on them. And of course, because it's Diebold, you know it comes from a company you can trust, whether you'd like to or not. Frankly, you have no choice. And with bids starting as low as anything you like, this tens of thousands of a kind e-voting machine is sure to be a steal. I wish I was kidding about this, but I am not. These voting machines that you can use, that you can practice, that they used to keep them out of our hands. Oh, you can't. They're too dangerous to let the mere mortals in the public know about. They're now available to just about anybody you want on eBay. I talked to the seller of these machines. He says he has more than 100 of them available. They come from Van Wert County, Ohio. And from a state like Ohio, you know the machines work just as they're supposed to, so get yours now. And this absolutely blows my mind. Read more at bradblog.com. In the meantime, John Huntsman Jr., the former Utah governor and the outgoing Chinese ambassador to the U.S., a Republican, he's still registered to vote at the Utah governor's mansion, despite the fact that he resigned his office 19 months ago and bought a house in D.C. That would be voter fraud in most people's world. Of course, if you're a Republican in more than 22 states now pushing new anti-voter photo ID restrictions, you don't care. I guess we're going to have to talk more about that next week, I'm sorry to say. Hey, until then, you can find me every night, 6 to 9 p.m. This Friday through next Friday, guest hosting for Mike Malloy, and I'll be back next Wednesday. Until then, we'll also see you at bradblog.com.